This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Well, listen, we're halfway through the legislative session. Things are going well. There's still a lot of work to be done. We've got revenue estimates, and I know we're working on budget issues. Appropriations has been very busy, but then many policy bills are continuing to move through committee. I did want to talk again a little bit this week about industrial hemp. I know that that bill passed through the House pretty overwhelmingly with a strong vote, but I want to be clear that I have some very real concerns about moving forward with any industrial hemp legislation this year. And let me share a little bit why I have those concerns. South Dakota is not ready for industrial hemp today. We're not ready from an agricultural perspective. We do not have dollars budgeted to set up a licensing program, to have inspectors out on the ground, to have GPS locations of plots located, and to be able to make sure that we're spot checking where these plots could be and where the product would be grown and how we would market and process and transport it as well. Also, when we look at it, the plant looks exactly like the marijuana plant because it is the same plant as a marijuana plant. So when you look at a public safety standpoint, I have grave concerns there as well. First of all, we don't have any federal guidelines from USDA, so we do not know what a commodity program would look like or what instructions we would get from the federal government to move forward as an agriculture commodity. But on the public side, public safety, law enforcement side of it, my concerns are that we don't have a roadside test to test THC levels, so our law enforcement officers would only have a visual test to determine if there was industrial hemp or marijuana moving up and down our roadways. And because it is the same plant and looks exactly the same, that would be incredibly challenging for them. Drug dogs will also tip off on industrial hemp just like they will on marijuana, so that will not be a tool that we'll be able to utilize. We do have some equipment at the state lab that can run tests on industrial hemp. However, it cannot indicate to us what level of THC might be in that product. So it will not be helpful in letting us determine if it is industrial hemp or if it has violated the standards, which would be acceptable. And then also, we aren't sure if pesticides could be used on this product. We don't know if we could control it and keep it within its own plots where it's going to be grown. And then we also have grave concerns from a family and from a social side of this issue. Industrial hemp is opening the door to marijuana distribution in South Dakota. I am 100% convinced that this would open the pathway for that to happen, and that if we did move forward without being adequately prepared, that we'd be back here within a couple of years having a discussion about the inability to enforce transportation, the inability for our law enforcement officers to determine the difference, and that we'd be having a conversation on if we should allow marijuana to be transported. So, with every discussion I've had, and I've been in public office now for many, many years, and I've had many discussions with social workers, with addiction treatment counselors, with families that have been devastated by drugs and addiction, and across the board, overwhelmingly, they tell me that marijuana is a gateway drug. That it is a drug that if they're dealing with a type of an addiction issue, that marijuana has been a part of that introduction into that person's life. And they have asked me not to consider legalizing marijuana. I believe if we move ahead with industrial hemp and we aren't prepared with it from a regulatory standpoint, from an enforcement standpoint, and if we don't have the equipment or the dollars to do this correctly, that we will be opening the door to allowing marijuana to be legalized in the state of South Dakota. People talk about CBD oil as well. When they talk about the dollars that could be raised from growing industrial hemp, what would bring in those big dollars that so many farmers are excited about is the CBD oil and its extraction and ability to sell that. CBD oil today is not legal in the state of South Dakota. I have concerns about legalizing CBD oil because it's not regulated. I have said that if FDA regulates it and we know what is actually in the product, that at that time I would consider it. But today when CBD oil is on the shelf, no one has checked it. It has not been inspected. We do not know how much THC is in the product. There is the ability and there is history that THC is in the product. If we do not know how much is in it, I don't believe that we should legalize it as well. So those are my concerns and why I am asking the Senate, before they consider this bill, to look at the wide range of facts that we're dealing with before they push ahead with an industrial hemp piece of legislation when South Dakota isn't ready for it, and certainly our families and law enforcement officers aren't ready for it as well. Now, do you have any questions for me?
I think proponents of the industrial hemp bill say that it would kind of direct the South Dakota Department of Ag to sort of establish rules starting from July 1st into the 2020 growing season. I guess, are you saying you're not confident those rules could be put in place during that time?
South Dakota would have to start putting in place rules to set up a commodity program that would license and inspect and allow the ability for producers to grow the commodity. The problem is we don't know what the federal guidelines are yet. So if USDA hasn't put out those guidelines, and I have talked to the Secretary of Agriculture about this issue, I have talked to officials within USDA, and they say they're not near finalizing those federal regulations yet. So if they are still working on that, and we don't know what the boundaries are of what this looks like from a federal level, I would prefer South Dakota wait and make an informed decision on how best to set our program up.
Last week, you said you weren't willing to issue a veto threat. You voiced your concerns. The House passed it anyway. Is there a change of tact there for you?
It's difficult to know what this bill may look like when it gets to me. So that is, the legislative process is happening. It will continue to move through a committee discussion, possible amendments. The Senate floor will have a discussion as well. So I'll look at the bill when it gets to my desk. But I am clearly asking the legislature to slow this down and to not pass an industrial hemp bill this year.
4 days away from committee crossover, 8 working days away from formal crossover. Are you at all concerned about the pace, tempo, and the amount of bills? Still, my count, over 30 carcass bills, placeholder bills pending right now. I understand some of those are being eliminated this morning, but any concerns about that?
There is. I think the legislators will stay late, get their work done, have debate on the bills. I did walk past a couple legislators in the hallway this morning, and they told me we killed some vehicle bills, we killed some carcass bills, and so they know that I'm focused on that. I've told them that if they are going to put a bill on my desk, that in light of my conviction to have transparency in this process, that I want it to go through a committee hearing and to be open and transparent to people before they put it on my desk. So I think they're doing due diligence to get their work done in time.
You mentioned the revenue projections. Mm-hmm. Can you give any reaction to the figures they set and how that might affect your budget?
Our revenue projections were no big surprise. They were pretty consistent with what we had discussed with you previously. I know LRC and legislators have put out projections as well, and so we've been having discussions as to where we think we should go. What I have encouraged the legislators to do is to be conservative, that we don't spend money we don't have, and that they should keep those revenue numbers lower so that we can make sure that we're budgeting appropriately and we're not back here next year cutting spending when we didn't do our job. I think that tends to happen, from year to year, and we'll have a debate over where, they'll have their work done in appropriations deciding how spending should happen and what revenue numbers they use. I'll continue to push them to stick to lower numbers, to be conservative, and make sure that we're budgeting properly.
You kind of mentioned, the transportation of industrial hemp is a big concern. Are you worried or envisioning that bales of marijuana would be transferred,
I think that if you had marijuana being shipped with industrial hemp, it'd be difficult to tell what was marijuana and what was industrial hemp. I had some conversations with our Secretary Flute of Tribal Affairs. The Sisseton Wahpeton Tribe has been involved in a pilot project. He described to me the difficulties that they had to be very careful with how they shipped industrial hemp because they couldn't let any seeds fall off along the roadside, that it had to be handled carefully, that they actually had some issues with getting seed. And his testimony is and experiences he shared with me as well, which I used to help make my decision.
This is from KSFY. I'm looking for a reaction on House Bill 1178, passed drastically shorting early voting in South Dakota from 46 days down to 21. Your thoughts on that bill?
You know, I think that bill was amended recently, and so we've been watching it through the process. We want to make sure everybody gets the chance to vote. So when it gets to my desk, we'll see what the debate has brought apart. You know, I know that it'll continue to move and have that discussion.
Earlier this week, the Senate passed the Partridge Amendment to the Partridge Amendment. I was wondering if I could get your thoughts on that bill and what it does and the executive branch's position.
Well, that bill is, I think you adequately described it, the Partridge Amendment to the Partridge Amendment. My concern is that they would move forward with that legislation without the revenues coming in that they projected. So if we start lowering and bringing down that rate without new revenues coming in to replace it, we will have to look for areas to cut spending. And so my discussion with the legislature has been to wait until we have more data. We only have one month of data to be able to tell if we've received more revenue from online sales. And that data showed us that there was no significant increase. So I would ask them to wait a year, and we will make an amendment to that process when it's appropriate for us to do so, knowing that we have more months of proof of how much revenue will come in from online shopping, and we can make an informed decision.
Governor, what's your position on the bill to prohibit instruction on gender dysphoria in schools?
You know, that's a bill that I think we just have been discussing a little bit, but I haven't read it yet. So I'm hoping that it gets to my desk. We're going to discuss it here in one of our meetings, and so I'm hoping we can have a discussion on it. But I haven't read the legislation, so I'm not sure. I had heard about other issues that were being discussed, but this was a new one for me. So we have a policy discussion that we'll be having on that bill here in the next day or two.
Pretty early in the process, but this morning a bill passed through committee that would allow concealed pistol carry in the Capitol. My understanding is that similar legislation in the past has been vetoed. I'm wondering your stance on that if it passes through both chambers.
Well, there's several different pieces of legislation that are still moving that we're taking a look at, but that one will certainly be evaluating it when it gets to me.
Sorry to ask again. I didn't ask my question well enough. Are you confident with the revenue projections that your budget can be funded? Are you happy to see that those were high enough to fund your budget?
Yes. I feel passionately about my budget. We worked very hard on it to fund what I believe should be priorities in the state of South Dakota. We were responsible with it. We balanced our budget without raising taxes. We also funded providers, educators, making sure that we're taking care of people in the state, but also going after crime and meth, which is incredibly important.
Do you have any questions from the callers on the phones?
No? Okay. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.